I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station. Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Day by day, day by day, we get better and better.
We get better and better.
Insider Mike Florio.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Layla Rahimi in for Mully today. And we are pleased to bring in Mike Florio. He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram hotline, home of $7,000 off on Jeeps. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Hey, doing great. How are you guys?
Doing great. And you're at the owners' meetings, and we know the big news expected to come out of there will involve some sort of replay revision, perhaps. Where does it stand with the Rules Committee, and what do you expect?
Well, you know, there's a lot of tension here between the folks who recognize there's a need for change. There's an urgency to avoid the circumstances that led to the outcome of the Rams-Saints NFC Championship game, and then there's that faction of owners who believe it was a 100-year storm and they don't have to worry about it. It's a fluke thing. It's not going to happen again. And that is where the push and pull is going to happen. I posted something earlier today on PFT about the idea that somebody's going to need to stand up in that room today when the owners get together and show real leadership and show vision and foresight, because with legalized gambling, and there's going to be a critical mass of states, whether it's 30, 35, 40, whatever, at some point there are so many states where gambling is going to be legalized that our elected representatives are going to insist on full and complete integrity, accountability, and the closest thing possible to perfection when it comes to officiating. And if the NFL isn't doing it on its own, then that's when Congress is going to get involved and demand that the NFL do something. And that's what the NFL should be trying to avoid. And I don't know where the commissioner is on all of this. My theory is, and I've heard some things to suggest the theory is accurate, he's so close to the end of his run, he just doesn't care. It's going to be the next commissioner's problem. And that may be how it all plays out.
Yeah, Mike, when you think about how egregious it was, you want integrity no matter what the situation is. And you talk about a 100-year flood. Well, sometimes that's the only chance you get at a Super Bowl. And for fans who want to see that situation happen the right way, what can you guys say to them? It shouldn't be just the money deciding something like this.
Well, it should be committing all resources to doing the right thing and having a willingness to not worry about so-called unintended consequences. We hear that term all the time. I think that's a crutch for we don't want to do what you want us to do. And there is a certain amount of arrogance that gets sprinkled into this where I think that certain people within ownership don't like the idea that outsiders are telling them what to do, that other leagues are doing things that maybe the league should do, like the AAF with the Sky Judge. You know, the league didn't think of it first, so there's a certain genuflect that you perform to the AAF if you take their idea. And I really do think there is reluctance in the NFL to embrace changes that would look like they're taking something from someone else. Even though they have done it in the past, they took the two-point conversion 25 years ago, and in hindsight, it's amazing they did that. But I think that there is just not necessarily a commitment to doing the right thing. There's a commitment to doing things our way and throwing whatever roadblocks we have to out there to justify continuing to do things the way that they're doing them.
You know, Mike, I think there'll be a lot of discussion about replay, certainly sports gambling and the NFL's role, as we're talking about. That's what these meetings are for. And yet it's impossible not to wonder how comfortable or uncomfortable these meetings are with Robert Kraft and for Robert Kraft. He apologized before heading to Phoenix, certainly, but you do, I'm curious, have you detected anything or heard anything from his peers and how they have received him in light of what's happened?
I haven't heard anything about it. I haven't seen him. I know he's here. He issued a statement over the weekend in lieu of actually speaking. Usually what he does, he'll hold court with reporters and he'll do some of the various shows that are out here. He's done our show in the past multiple occasions. I would have personally advised him not to issue a statement at all, because pending legal proceeding, it's very easy to justify staying silent. I don't know that there was a clamoring by anyone to hear from Robert Kraft, and I don't know that the statement, which clearly was cultivated and crafted and very carefully read over and revised by lawyers and PR people, is that really something that adds anything? Does it make anyone who was upset with him not upset with him? Does it make anyone who wasn't upset with him feel any better? I just think that he felt like he needed to put something out there in lieu of speaking, but I haven't detected anything. There was a party that they have every Monday night at the league meetings, and his name never came up with anyone that I was talking to.
I am a little bit nosy and on Pro Football Talk, even though he's not here. I am still curious about what's going on with Robbie Gould and the 49ers.
Yeah, I mean, look, the 49ers want to try to sign him to a long-term contract. The franchise tag gives them that one-year placeholder at a reasonable amount when it comes to what some kickers make on a long-term contract. The challenge becomes turning that franchise tender into a long-term contract. The typical formula is you take the amount that the player is due to receive this year under the franchise tender, you give that player a 20% raise for next year because that's what the franchise tender would be in 2020. You fully guarantee the sum of those two numbers, and that's the way you lay the foundation for a long-term deal. Whether or not the 49ers and Gould can do that is a different issue, but they control his rights for this year, and I assume at some point he'll sign that tender if he can't get a long-term deal, because I think the dollar value is somewhere in the $5, $6 million range. It's great money for a kicker, and he'll stay put for a year, and then they can do it all again next year if the 49ers want to continue and they aren't able to do a long-term contract.
Joined by Mike Florio on Mullay and Haw with Leila Rahimi in for Mullay today. And Mike, over the weekend, also on Sunday night, Rob Gronkowski retires. He announces on Instagram, which was perfect. And I wondered in the 24 or 48 hours since, what you thought about some of the discussion about his place in history among the best tight ends ever, and also what you made of Drew Rosenhaus saying that, you know what, he wouldn't be shocked if in the middle of next season, if the Patriots are struggling, that Gronk comes back.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if Gronk wakes up someday in October, November, and decides I'd like to come back, kind of like when Brett Favre realized in July of 2008 he wanted to come back. I think for Gronk it's something that would happen during the season where he would want to come on like a Roger Clemens-style half season and then participate in a playoff run, because he was really good in the postseason. The challenge is getting to the postseason healthy, and he struggled through the regular season last year with a lot of injuries. He was banged up, and he was used extensively by the Patriots, and you know there's been some contractual frustration at the bottom of all of this. The Patriots haven't really given him a big raise, and how he's paid in comparison to other tight ends has been an issue. But the other side of that coin is, would the Patriots want it? You know, Bill Belichick is a firm believer in having one set of rules for all the players, and the idea of letting one player show up out of the middle of nowhere and join the team and the middle of the season or the latter stage of the season, that's the kind of thing that could cause Belichick to say, that's not how we do things. You're with us from the beginning and you're not with us at all.
Mike, obviously we talk about the replay concerns at the meetings, and also there's a big focus on the onside kick idea. Tell us what you think about it and whether or not you think this is something that could really happen.
You know, somebody asked Roger Goodell 5 years ago in advance of the Super Bowl that was held in New Jersey who he roots for, and he said, I root for the team that's trailing. And there's wisdom in that. There's business savvy in that. You want every game to be as close as it can be for as long as possible, and you want the team that is trailing to have a chance to pull it all back together and possibly force overtime or win the game in regulation. So with the changes to the kickoff formation that were adopted last year on a one-year basis and most likely will be made permanent this year, it's harder to recover an onside kick. So the 4th-and-15 concept, that's been floating around for years now as a potential replacement to the kickoff altogether, where the team that would be kicking off has the ball 4th-and-15 on its own 30 or 35 and either punts the ball or, if it desires to try to keep possession, runs a play from scrimmage. So there seems to be momentum for this. 7 of the 8 members of the competition committee endorsed this proposal from the Broncos. Only John Mara, the Giants co-owner, declined to get behind it. And if 7 out of 8 on the competition committee like it, all it takes is 24 out of 32 owners to get behind it. And you've already got 7 votes, presumably, because I would say that the owners of the teams who are represented on the competition committee would vote the same way that their GMs and coaches did. I would think that it's going to get through, and it's going to provide a way to keep games closer, help games get closer by giving teams a better chance of keeping possession if they're down by multiple scores late in the game.
Mike, you're in Arizona. Cliff Kingsbury, the new Cardinals coach, was on an NFL Network on Saturday, and he's saying, I think everything's on the table in regard to their position, drafting first overall, what they will do and how they will approach it. Is that essentially Cliff Kingsbury announcing to the rest of the league, if they don't already know it, that we'll take your best offer for Josh Rosen now?
Well, I think all things are really on the table, whether it's trading Josh Rosen and drafting Kyler Murray, whether it's trading out of that top spot if somebody should make them an offer that they literally can't refuse. You don't want to tip your hand. You don't want to lock into a position. You don't want to create expectations among your fan base that are going to be defied by reality. And the other side of this, too, that gets overlooked. The draft has become the NFL's ultimate offseason reality show, and I think the NFL nudges these teams. I don't know this, but I think the NFL nudges these teams who have the first overall pick to keep their mouth shut as long as possible, to draw out the drama as long as they can. Remember, there was a time when the team that held the first overall pick would actually sign the first overall pick to a contract before the draft even starts. No one is doing that now, although with Kyler Murray, that would be smart if you're going to take him, because one thing to draft him, it's another thing to get his name on a contract when he's still got that baseball possibility out there. But I think the Cardinals in the league, and primarily the league, nudging Arizona to, number one, keep their plans to themselves as long as possible, and number two, if you want to create drama and intrigue, please do it, because it makes the draft a bigger event. Remember, this year it's going to be on ABC and ESPN for the first time, and they want as many people to tune in. If you don't know who the first overall pick is going to be right up until the start of the draft, you're more likely to tune in.
Yep.
And then, Mike, you mentioned drama. I can't get enough of whatever is happening in Pittsburgh. Mike Tomlin with the famous quote, he said it before, we can't do this with hostages. We need volunteers. What's the latest there? At least people are talking.
Yeah, I mean, people are talking, and Mike Tomlin is a guy who has to say something to move forward after the Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell saga. But when he says we want hostages, not volunteers, is that, does that mean to me he's not going to use his draft picks? Or before he uses his draft picks, he's going to call these guys up and say, do you want to be in Pittsburgh? Because the whole concept of the draft is you're taking a hostage, not a volunteer. And you know, when I say, people get mad at me when I say this, but I think the draft is as un-American of a business practice as the NFL could have. Because a kid who grows up in Chicago, who has been a Bears fan his whole life and plays a position of need for the Bears, wants to play for the Bears, but you have to be drafted, and you could be drafted by the Seahawks, and you have to uproot and leave your family and move 2,000 miles away, and that's not the way it should be. These are 32 independent businesses, and you should be able to pick where you go to work, just like anybody else picks where they go to work. So you got me started on one of my soapbox issues that no one cares about except me. But, yeah, hostages and volunteers, if you really only want volunteers, then forfeit all your draft picks and go out and sign undrafted free agents.
Or move your franchise to Tennessee, perhaps. Yeah. I like the food for thought, Mike.
Yeah.
Great stuff, Mike. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
All right, thanks. See you.
Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com out at the NFL owners' meetings.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.